Am I on?
Yep.
I am. I'll try again. Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Thanks for coming out. And it's my privilege to bring you the start of our new series this evening, and that's in Mark's Gospel. Before I do anything, I'm going to ask the Lord to bless this time. So let's just bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you so much for an opportunity to hear your word. We thank you so much for an opportunity to come and sing your praises. And thank you that we've just been led by our worship band so well, and we give thanks for them and all that they are to us. Thank you for their gifts and talents. But Lord, more than anything else, we want to hear what you would have to say to us tonight. Not the words of me or me and men, but Lord, what you would have to say from your word. So we pray, please just bless our time together now. And please, by your Holy Spirit, make it a time of profitable learning and teaching, not from me, but from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm just going to move this mic because I'm mic'd up. Thanks, Paul. Better? Okay. So, Mark chapter 1. Now, there's an awful lot in Mark chapter 1, and I don't have too long to bring that to you this evening, but what we're going to do is I'm going to give the introduction into this amazing book, and I pray, and I have been praying all week, that you'll walk away from here not lifted by me, but lifted by this fantastic word from God. So please try your best to engage with me, and I'll do my best to do that with you, and hopefully we can get something from this evening. Now, we're going to go through the whole of Mark's Gospel in the next number of weeks, and there's so much in there. But this particular week, as I do the introduction, I would ask you, if you would, just to think a little bit of what Mark's Gospel is all about and who it's about. And with that in mind, I want to say to you tonight, and I'm going to start with this and I'm going to finish with it. Jesus said to his disciples halfway through this Gospel, "Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And that's going to be our theme this evening and for the next few weeks. Who do you say Jesus is? Now, Mark's Gospel, as I've just said, and forgive me if I repeat myself, but it really excites me. It's amazing, and it goes straight to the point. Mark doesn't hold back. He doesn't do a preamble. He doesn't go anywhere else. He goes straight for the point of why Jesus came, or who he is, and why he came. And he wrote this Gospel, I feel, almost like a newspaper with headlines, but everything is a headline. It's not on the front and then you turn the page and it's a bit of a story. Everything is a headline. And so just to get our imaginations going this evening, I'm going to ask the guys to put up some headlines that, well, forgive me, when I Googled the top 10 headlines has ever been, this is what came up. If you want to challenge me afterwards, you can, but this is what came up, okay? And they're in chronological order. So the first headline, which is the number one headline there's ever been in newspaper speak, is that one, the Wall Street crash. Now, I don't know whether that's the top headline because it sold more newspapers than anything else. I don't know. But that was the number one headline that came up. The Wall Street crash that happened in 1929. Now, some people in this room might remember it. I don't think so, but I certainly don't. But I've read about it and I know what it's about. So that was headline number one. The second headline, number two, was the first man on the moon. So I remember that. That was in 1969. So I can see there's a number of people out there who will definitely have remembered the first man on the moon. Number three that comes up, was Martin Luther King being assassinated. Okay, he was shot in 1968. This man, preacher, minister, and basically he was trying to bring the break down the color bar in America, and he was shot. Number four, the first use of atomic weapons in 1945. That was the number four top headline. Number five, which I'm sure most of us might remember, is the 9/11 Twin Towers attack. Anybody know when that was? I know it was September the 11th, but 2001. I can't believe it was that long ago. Number six, John Lennon being shot dead. I can remember where I was when that happened. I was in bed, and my alarm went off to go to work, and it went off, and the first words I heard were, John Lennon has been shot dead. So that was 1980. Next one, 1963, was John F. Kennedy being assassinated. Next one, some of you may remember, President Nixon resigns, the Watergate scandal, that was 1974. And again, some may remember it, some may not, but it made number eight in the top 10. We're nearly there, number nine, Adolf Hitler committing suicide, realizing he'd lost the war, and that was 1945. And finally, 1912, the Titanic hitting the iceberg and sinking. So some of you may remember some of those headlines, some of you may not, but there they are. They are the top 10. The reason why I've shown you those is because I've just said Mark's gospel reads almost like headline after headline after headline. It's amazing. But I want to show you a headline that I believe, and just for this evening, so stay with me, I believe this is the greatest headline ever. You might disagree, you might not. Okay, I don't know whether there is a Jerusalem headline, herald, we just invented it, but the beginning of the gospel of Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Now, I think that is a headline. I'm not suggesting that we should think of the others as being trivial at all. They're historical facts. But so is this. And Mark opens his gospel with that. That's the first words that we read. The beginning of the gospel of Christ Jesus, the Son of God. And that's what I've loved about looking into this, that he doesn't mess around, goes straight to the point. Now, it's easy to read that and not think about it, but let's just think just a moment. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So he's not mincing his words there, is he? He's going straight to the point. This is the Son of God. This is who I am writing about. Now, I don't know if you've ever had the situation where people have come to you and said, I don't get it. I can't understand the Bible. It's a bit heavy. It's a bit wordy. It's a bit this. It's a bit that. It's a bit outdated. It's, you know. But for me, as just a plain speaking Liverpool lad, that says it all. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So as I said earlier, Mark hasn't pulled any punches here. Basically, he's saying, enter King Jesus. This is the Son of God. So there's no grey areas. Here we have it. Right in front of us. You have it on your laps. You have it electronically. You have it on paper. If you need a Bible, come and see me and we'll sort one out for you. But you have it there. It's there, written down by Mark. So then we go from deity, the Son of God, It's a prophecy in verse 2. So here we are, Mark, bang, straight away, Son of God. Straight into prophecy, as it's written. Okay, we've just seen it up on the text. Malachi, Isaiah. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I'll just use that one. Behold, I send a messenger before you, your face, and will prepare your way. Verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight, Isaiah. So again, Mark, straight to the point, doesn't mess around. John is found preparing the way, baptizing repentant sinners in the Jordan. So there's no sort of veering off anywhere here. We've gone straight in. And that's what I've loved about studying this text. Verse 7 says this. John even tells us that Jesus will eventually come to him. And he does. And he says, I baptize with water, but he will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So here we have some really major claims, don't we? And major statements by Mark, all in the space of 7 verses, which are really plain speaking, not hard to understand, not difficult at all. But this is the introduction into Mark's gospel. So you might be thinking, okay, that's great. Who's Mark? Who is he? Who's this guy called Mark who's writing this gospel? Well, here's a little bit about Mark. So he was born around AD 5, there or thereabouts. Wherever you go, you get different times, but round about then. He was born in a place called Cyrene, which is modern-day Libya, which you can visit today. His family were pretty wealthy. His mother, her name was Mary, who owned a large house in Jerusalem, and we can read that in Acts chapter 12, verse 12. Mark's home was possibly the home where the Last Supper took place, or his mum's home, I should say. And Mark could have been the young man who ran away in the Garden of Gethsemane naked when someone pulled the sheet off him. That, some commentators say that could have been Mark. So he was there or thereabouts when Jesus was towards the end of his ministry. His cousin was Barnabas, who we know of, Barnabas, the great encourager. And Mark would travel with Paul and Barnabas on one of their first missionary journeys. But Mark would eventually turn back, which would cause friction between Mark and Paul. And we can read that in Acts chapter 15, verse 36. But Mark would then become a fellow labourer with Paul and a real encouragement. And again, we can read that in Colossians chapter 4, verses 10 to 11. So there's a lot of stuff written just about Mark. Paul had other good things to say about Mark, and we can read those if we want to reference them. They're all there. But the important point we want to come to right now is Mark would eventually accompany Peter. And he would write down Peter's eyewitness account of his time with Jesus. Peter would at some point refer to Mark as his son, because he loved him that much. So they were obviously really close. I mean, imagine having Peter as your mentor and your friend, and a father figure. That is mind-blowing in itself, how encouraging that would be. So Mark had some very influential friends. Sadly, Mark would die around 56 to 60 AD. Some say he died in Alexandria, in Egypt, with a rope round his neck, being dragged along the ground for his ministry. But we need to thank Mark, or John Mark as his full title is, for writing such an amazing gospel. And we have to thank Peter for giving him those words to write about our Saviour, Jesus. Now we have this, I've said it before, we have this amazing document in our hands, the life story of Jesus' public ministry here on earth. As you can see, the beginning of the gospel of Christ Jesus, the Son of God. What a headline that is. But I'd just like to say as well, as a little footnote, I was personally encouraged, and I hope you will be, by the fact that Mark almost blew it. He almost fell out. Well, he did fall out for a time with Paul. But then there was reconciliation, and things came together. And look what we have in front of us. We have Mark's gospel given to him by Peter. But the reason why I was encouraged by that is because, well, I don't know about you, but I feel like I blow it every day. I feel like I get it wrong every day. I feel like I slip up every day. Now, I'm sure you maybe feel the same. So, the encouraging thing is, no matter what happens, no matter what the situation is, God will use whoever he chooses. So when that was happening, when he was going through those difficult times, God had a plan for him. And God has a plan for you and me. But my question to you here is this. Are you prepared to be used by God in any way at all? If you hear God speaking to you, are you prepared to go, okay, Lord, here I am, send me? That's a challenge to me. And I think that's a challenge to you. So we've heard a little bit about Mark, who he is, who he was, how he got to where he would be to write this gospel. So we've heard that. So let's return to the text. Let's remember that John, okay, we find here John is baptizing people. Jesus is then baptized by John. And what an amazing picture this is. Jesus goes to the Jordan. He's traveled there. Now, when we perhaps watch videos of this, if we've ever seen it, there's a bunch of people on the banks of the Jordan, and John is baptizing and he's speaking to people, and people are being repentant. So I'm guessing, forgive me, that there's an awful lot of people there. And then Jesus turns up. Okay? I don't want to sound flippant there, but Jesus arrives and goes into the waters to be baptized by John. And this has been prophesied. Remember right at the beginning? Verse 3. This would happen. And here it is, coming to pass, right before our eyes. Jesus goes into the water and comes up, and we get this phenomenal picture of the Trinity together there and then. We have Jesus going into the water and coming up, the Holy Spirit descending as a dove, and then God cries from heaven, "This is my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." What a picture that is. Now, that's what made me think there was, if I'd have been standing on the banks of the Jordan when that happens, I'm not quite sure how I would have reacted, and we'll never know how anybody who was there would have reacted. But this is what happens. The Trinity comes together at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. So, question, what can we understand from this coming together of the Trinity? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, can I suggest, excuse me, God's kingdom has arrived on earth right now. Now, we know we've just celebrated Christmas, and Jesus was born in Bethlehem 30 years before. But this is the coming together of all of that. Here we have Jesus, Spirit, Father. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased, right at the beginning of his public ministry. Mark's gospel goes on to emphasize works and the deeds of Jesus more than his own. Mark presents, defends the ministry, realizing that the audience, you and me, are either followers or opponents. Well, that's tough, isn't it? That's a tough statement to make. But that's what Mark does through his gospel. We're either opponents or we're followers. Can I graciously say, we really can't sit on the fence. We really can't. We either follow or we oppose. That is the fact of it. And Mark goes on to identify for himself his fellowship with Jesus, including trust in him. So listen to this, because this could be you. Trust in him, confessing him, observing his conduct, following his teaching, and being shaped by a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Do I have a real relationship with Jesus Christ? Remember at the beginning, I said, our theme is this. Who do you say that I am? That's what Jesus said to his disciples in Mark chapter 8, verse 29. And we'll come to that in a few weeks' time. Who do you say I am? Who do you say Jesus is? Well, we've already been told, haven't we? There it is on the headlines. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's who Jesus is. Is he that to you? Is he that to me? I can't do justice to the whole of chapter 1 right now in the time that we have. But what I would like to do, I'd like to just do a little bit of a whistle-stop tour through the remaining verses of just chapter 1. Okay? And I'm going to give you a little challenge at the end. So bear with me. So, Mark chapter 1. We've read the first 3 verses. We got up to verse 7. But I'm just going to bounce back to verse 4. Okay, so verse 4 of chapter 1. The introduction of John the Baptist. We've seen the headline. John's introduced. Verse 4. Verse 9. Jesus is baptized. Verse 12. Jesus goes into the wilderness to be tempted. Verse 14, Jesus begins his public ministry here on earth. Verse 16, Jesus calls his disciples, the first ones. Verse 21, Jesus heals the man with an unclean spirit. Verse 29, Jesus heals many. Verse 35, Jesus preaches at Galilee. Verse 40, Jesus heals the leper. And that's just chapter 1. So without stealing Bill's thunder, you can't afford to miss next week's thrilling installment of chapter 2, because you don't know what you might hear, but it will be edifying to you without a shred of a doubt. I can't do that justice, but what I am going to say to you is this. I've never been a teacher as such, but I want to give you some homework. You won't be laughing. No, seriously. I would never ever come to you and say, did you do this? But what I would suggest you do, okay, is please, when you go home tonight, just read chapter 1. When you go to bed or when you get home, before you make a cup of tea or put the TV on or whatever it is you do, just read chapter 1. It'll take you 10 minutes. That's all. 10 minutes. And tonight we've just done an introduction into who Mark is and how he would write and shape his gospel. And it's been a brief introduction, hasn't it? But that's all we wanted to do. We just wanted to set the scene for you. And each week, what we're going to do is we're going to finish off with the same four questions. The questions will come up on the screen. Who do you say Jesus is? So you can personally ask yourself that question. Is he the Son of God? Is he who he says he is to you? And the questions are as follows. What do we learn about who Jesus is? What do we learn about what Jesus came to do? How do people respond to Jesus? And how do you think you should respond to Jesus? Now, as I said, it's not homework really, but I would love if you did go home and just read chapter 1. That's all. And then ask those questions. Okay, I'm going to do something really radical now. If you've got paper, you can write it down. Some people are writing. If you haven't, and you've got a phone, and you want to take a photograph of the screen, take it away. That's absolutely fine by me. If I see some phones coming up, that's not a problem. If you don't want any, if you don't want to do any of those things and don't want to be embarrassed by me, come speak to me afterwards, and I can tell you what those questions are. But in finishing, in closing, you have to ask yourself the question, who do you say Jesus is? We're going to finish with a hymn that tells us all about what we believe Jesus is here at Bridge Chapel. Now, we've sung this hymn a number of times, but I'm led to believe by our band tonight that there's a bridge that we've not sung before. So I'm hoping the worship leaders are going to lead us into how that goes. Apparently it should always be sang, and we're going to try for the first time tonight. So can you stand, join with us, and we'll sing this amazing song.